There's an online magazine in Ireland, and it's called the journal.ie, and it has a strap line that reads, "Read, share, and shape the news." And all the time, 24 hours a day, it seems to me, it is publishing different articles. And recently, last Wednesday, at 8 o'clock in the morning, it published an article which has been viewed by 16,172 people, as far as I can see, and has generated 108 comments. And the title of the article is "Antidepressants, Friend or Foe?" It's an article about depression, about anxiety and depression, and it's written by an anonymous person. And I'm going to read it to you. And I'm also going to read you what I wrote in response to it. And I hope it will be of some help to somebody somewhere. And if any of what follows is helpful to one person in the world, then I'll be very happy. I'll begin with what is written by a person who wants to remain anonymous. 16 months after I went to my GP for anxiety and depression, and 14 months after I first saw a psychiatrist, I finally caved and agreed to go on medication. I still hate referring to those little white pills by their correct name. Prefer the latter vague term, that is, little white pills. Means that I don't have to actually admit to myself what I take every morning to stay level, normal, to remain a fully functioning human being. Immediately after I finally agreed to take the prescription, I cried. I cried for all that innocuous little sheet of paper signified to me. I cried because I felt like I had failed. I cried because I felt like I had failed at life. That this piece of paper meant that I was weak, damaged, less of a person because I couldn't cope alone. I had never failed at anything before. And now I had failed the biggest test of all. Even though part of me had always felt a little different from the herd, a bit more vulnerable than most, medicalizing the problem and putting an actual name to it was a sad and poignant day, even though I knew it was the right thing to do. On that day, I officially said goodbye to, quote, me, the success story, and hello to, quote, me, the psychiatric patient, because in my head, at least, the two felt mutually exclusive. But I also felt a sense of relief that the battle was over, that the white flag had finally been raised against the enemy within. I had capitulated, and with that admission came relief, together with the hope of better times ahead. I'd called in the cavalry, courtesy of our much maligned pharmaceutical industry, and by then I would take all the help I could get. Next is a headline, "A Perception That Needs to Change." Anyone who has never been on medication probably doesn't understand why it was such a big step for me. It's a pill, you take it, you feel better, big deal. But to take that attitude is to ignore the very real reality out there that, like it or not, people do have defined views of what taking antidepressant medication means. And to me, regardless of what I was suffering from, regardless of what doctors I'd seen, actually swallowing that pill, taking that chemical into my system, consciously and deliberately reprogramming my brain, however slightly, represented crossing the Rubicon from normal to abnormal, from balanced to unbalanced, from strong to weak. because that is the perception that is out there of what taking antidepressants means. And it is a perception that needs to change, starting with attitudes within the media itself. I hate getting my prescription. I become self-conscious and feel exposed, knowing that the white coat behind the counter has been given such an intimate insight into what's going on inside my head that even close friends and in-laws are not aware of. I feel like I'm standing there with a fragile stamp. Fragile's in inverted commas. With a fragile stamp emblazoned across my forehead, or a, quote, slightly imperfect, end quote, sticker on my brain. I overanalyze their treatment of me and search for signs of pity in their eyes, and completely forget the fact that I'm probably number 15 of the day taking my drug or similar. Headline, dealing with, or paragraph heading, dealing with others' attitudes. And now, as I face into a stressful period of my life, my GP suggests that I should increase the dose, approaches the subject in exactly the right matter-of-fact tone which used to be used to make such a suggestion. There is no judgment. There is certainly no pity. Such an objective observation that if things are about to get a little tougher, I might want to launch a preemptive strike against the enemy within. And I genuinely can't decide whether it is irresponsible on my behalf to follow her suggestion or irresponsible not to. Because for as long as I have been on antidepressants, my taking them has been shrouded with guilt that I caved and went on them in the first place, that I haven't yet come off, together with guilt's powerful younger sister, shame. Shame that I require a chemical crutch just to make it through the day. I don't discuss what I take. I don't actively hide it, but I don't advertise it either. The mischievous child in me would truly love one day to react when a colleague, acquaintance, or friend mentions how they're looking forward to their glass of wine that evening after, quote, the day they've had. To pipe up and share how glad I am I took my SSRI this morning. SSRI stands for something to do with, anyway, it basically stands for antidepressants, the modern type. Oh, to see their face, but I won't. Yet. Because there's no putting that genie back in the bottle. That is why I cannot bring myself to put my name to this article. Because like it or not, there are attitudes out there. People do have negative reactions to such admissions. Green ribbons or not. And for now at least I need to protect myself, even if the greater good would be better served by my taking a braver stance. It is the way it is, for now at least. And silence, anonymity, Joe Blogdom is safe, even if it is an isolated place. Paragraph heading. Antidepressants have helped me build a bridge. But I do not want to say that antidepressants have undoubtedly been my friend. They have helped me build a bridge between two opposing worlds, and the value of that path cannot be underestimated. When I couldn't see the wood from the trees, antidepressants gave me a starting point from which to map out my recovery. They were the buoyancy aid that stopped me going under, and for that I will always be grateful. Equally, I will always be angered and insulted by the judgments of others about what taking antidepressants means. They are not the only answer, but they are a bloody good start. Those who say that we have to treat the root of the problem and change the world and not the chemicals within our brains, I take my hat off to and wholeheartedly agree. But in an imperfect world, antidepressants are an imperfect solution. And I, for one, think an imperfect solution is better than none at all. The author is an occasional writer who has the utmost of admiration for those writers who are braver than she is. Perhaps someday she will join them and venture out of the mental health closet. But for now, at least, fear and shame keep her in there. So that's it. I wrote something in response. I'm reading down through the, or flicking down through the pieces by other people. So this is what I wrote. It's also reasonably long. Directly I wrote this to the person who wrote that article. Thank you very much for writing this article. The more discussion we have about mental health, the better, I say. The more we talk about it, the easier it becomes for others. For this reason, I feel you have done something good, which I hope has helped you. We'll never know what your article leads to. It may even save a life. Because depression is a dangerous experience. I've had several bouts of severe depression since 1992. The good news is I'm still breathing, but my experiences have felt awful. I feel fortunate to be alive today. I've learned how dreadful depression was for me. I've learned to overcome my shame. These days I'll tell anyone I've been mentally unwell. I've learned how many people know. I've learned how many people know what depression is like for them. There's hardly a person I've met who's untouched by it, somewhere in their family or circle. I go so far as to say that people who haven't experienced depression in any form, directly or indirectly, are unusual. Bracket. Nothing wrong with that. I've been fortunate to have been supported by wonderful people. Without them, I might not be here. I've taken medication and can remember vividly the time I was against them. It's great to hear from people for whom the medication has worked a treat. That hasn't been my experience. But the way people react to medication varies a lot. There are so many different medications, so many regimes. People are so various. Getting a good fit between the individual and a medication is a matter of trial and a lot of error for me. That much I am sure. There is no guarantee that any medication will lift the depression or even weaken the pain. And they often take weeks before they, quote, kick in. When you're suffering with depression, a week can feel a lifetime. I've experienced the confusion and lack of confidence that many feel when they want to help a person with depression. It's awful for people who want you to get better and don't know what to do. I've seen good people do nothing for fear of doing the wrong thing. It's particularly hard for the family of a depressed person. They feel so impotent and scared because they feel so out of control. And depression is dangerous. As someone who's needed support from others to get me through depression, I feel a responsibility to help others get more confident about what to do. I suggest people first look after themselves. Unless you are well, you'll struggle to help anyone. So don't let the other person's depression get you down or tire you out. Take care of yourself. Remember, a person with depression isn't well. What they feel and say is a consequence of their depression. There is a well person behind the wall of the depressed state. I say that again. There is a well person behind the wall of the depressed state. That person will come out to play again. That person will come out to play again. When a depressed person shuts you out, ignore that shutting out. Go forward through the barriers they put up. Reach through to the person who is cutting off from you. My approach is my approach. I'm not qualified to be responsible for anyone but myself. You have to find your own way. But there are so many people out there suffering with depression, plus those caring for people who are depressed, that it's crazy to imagine you're isolated. You may feel alone, but you are not alone. You may feel alone, but you are not alone. Feeling alone. Yeah, feeling alone is how you feel when you are depressed. The first bout of depression I had, I was convinced it would never end. All my intelligence told me I was trapped in it forever. I was sure it would never end. I was wrong. The second time I was sure it would go on forever, I was wrong again. After that, I realized depression lifts. That was a bit of a breakthrough. Even since then, or ever since then, I've known. Sorry, I'm having difficulty with my recorder. Ever since then. Oh dear. Hold on. Ever since then, I've known that there is light somewhere around the corner, however long the corner. Bouts that last for months feel crucifying. You imagine all sorts of things, ranging from how worthless you are to how little others understand. People understand a lot more than you credit them with, but feeling helpless leads to people worrying instead of acting. Feeling helpless leads to people worrying instead of acting. Above all, depressed people, I think, need company. Depressed people need to be loved. When you are depressed, you feel unloved. That's the way the body works during that time. But even though you feel unloved, you need to be loved by others. You can't love yourself during that time in your life. Spike Milligan hated his condition so much he had nothing good to say for it. He'd have given up all his creativity to be rid of his unwell mental health. I feel different. I've gained a lot from my depressions. I've met great people. I've got work from people who valued my experience of depression and my survival. I cannot generalize beyond my individual experience. People are all individuals. We each suffer in our own way. We survive and thrive in our own way too. Again, thank you so much for writing your best. You've helped me. And I'm grateful to you for all you've done. May you keep on getting better. Paul O'Mahony in Cork in Ireland. That's my response to an absolutely wonderful piece of writing by somebody whose name I'll probably never know. And thank you very much for listening to this. I hope there's something in this piece of audio that is helpful to you, or maybe helpful to somebody that you know, or somebody who somebody that you know knows. Bye for now.